can see your face. When life won't play along and life keeps going wrong and I can't seem to find my way, I know where I'm found, so I won't let it drag me down. No, I'll keep dancing anyway. When life won't play along and life keeps going wrong and I can't seem to find my way.
can praise you for everything else in this world, God, but we praise you because you are our greatest gift. Your blood is the greatest thing that you have ever given us, Jesus, and we thank you for that this morning.
I hear the Savior say, my strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all.
Everybody, hands up.
Jesus paid it all.
we can praise God better than that. Come on, lift up a shout.
To us, Jesus. God is healing someone's right knee right now. If you start moving around, you'll feel the pain go. Actually, he's recreating a ligament that's on the outside of your knee. God is reconstructing you right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for healing this morning. God, we thank you, Jesus, that you care about every single need that we have. Lord, your love makes it worth it. We ask this morning that you will baptize us fresh with the love of heaven. The Father, we'll have a like a new introduction, God, even to you, in a realm, Father, we've never been to before, with how much you love us. Lord, so many struggle with self-doubt. Lord, even this morning, there are many that struggle, Lord, with depression. We take authority over the spirit of depression in the name of Jesus. Command it to loose the people of God in Jesus' name. God, they no longer have to struggle with their worth, but Lord, they'll see how you see them for the glory of heaven. And Lord, we thank you so much for your goodness in our life. We surrender, Jesus. We surrender all that we are. All that we are, all that we want to be, so that you, Jesus, can be glorified through our lives. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, I said, everybody said, amen. On your way back to your chair, make sure you welcome five or six folks. Large crew gone away on vacation. We want to pray for them as the service begins. Come on, don't be a snob this morning. Go meet somebody you don't know. Shake their hand and say, good morning. You look just marvelous today. Jay, get out of your... Josh, get out of your seat.
We're just thinking about it.
Finally, a fun family day to get away from all of those chores.
Man, I want to win that Xbox.
Dad, where's Mom?
Yo, honey, come on, let's go.
Honey, let's go.
I need to win that cruise.
Rock the City, August 24th through the 26th at Thorn Street Park. Free food, inflatables, and giveaways.
Be sure to catch the Saturday night fireworks.
Hey, good morning, church family. Today's the day. We're having our annual family picnic at the Harris Hill Youth Camp. Again, make sure that you bring a large dish to pass. Bring some drinks, bring some games. Let's come have fun with the family after church service. We'll see you at the family picnic. This coming Friday, August 18th, from 1 to 6 p.m., we're partnering with the Red Cross and doing a blood drive right here at the church. So if you would like to donate your blood, make sure that you come out again 1 p.m. to 6 p.m. this Friday, August 18th, and donate your blood. They need people to stay alive.
Thank you.
morning, His Tabernacle. How y'all doing this morning? Yeah, that is weak. No, that's unacceptable. Y'all slept 2 more hours than me. So how y'all doing this morning? Awesome, awesome. Welcome to our 11 a.m. service. We are so excited for you here to come and to worship with us. If this is your first time here, can we just see your hands? Any first-time guests? We have one right over there. We have one right over there. That's awesome. Any more? We have 3 new first-time guests. Amazing. Thank you so much for coming to worship with us. You're about to receive a gift from us. It's going to have a cup in there, some information about our church. And then on this side of the sanctuary, we'll have to meet you afterwards for a guest reception, meet our wonderful senior pastors, some other people on staff, and we'll have to just get to know you and to say hello. Live stream, how you guys doing? We love you guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. Every single week, you are still part of our family, even through the TV, through your phone, through your laptop. You are still part of our family. So give it up for our live stream family. Amen, amen. We have a few busy weeks coming up, even starting today after second service. I believe at 2 o'clock, we're going to have our annual family picnic at the youth camp at Harris Hill. So make sure that you bring an extra large dish to pass and your own drinks and some games. And Pastor might just play I Got It. You never know. So you've got to show up to see that. Amen. Also, we have Rock the City coming up. Who is excited for Rock the City? Last year, we rocked Elmira, and this year, we're going to rock Horsehead. So we are so pumped for that. If you guys could, if it's time, this is the time for you to put your hands to the plow and to volunteer. So next weekend, we're going to have a volunteer meeting right after church service for all those. And if there's any way you want to get involved, please go and see Pastor Chad. Amen? Who here loves education? I love education, all right? We've had a very, very busy week for education ministry. Starting next week, we have Remnant Bible Institute starting up again, which is so exciting. So if you still want to attend, you have 3 days to apply. If I don't get your application by Wednesday night, you ain't coming. I love you. But you got 3 more days. Amen. And if you like to host one of our students from out of town, please let me know as well. That'll be a great blessing and investment into their lives. And then also this week, we had our graduating class of the spiritual warfare class. We're going to have our graduating class of spiritual warfare come out. We had 47 people graduate from this class. And we had over 70 people take this class. If you were in rock solid faith, sometimes you just hear us just warring in the room next door, praying down heaven and plundering hell. And it was absolutely exciting and such a privilege to teach this wonderful class. They're still coming. We're just at the K's. We've got to keep coming. They taught they learned various principles about how to take spiritual warfare into their homes and to be victorious. You are looking at a group of people who are not weak. They are strong. I mean, when they begin to pray, heaven moves. When they pray, God hears. God's hand is quickened for them. And I'm just so excited that God has a deposit in their lives and in their future ministries. So you can join this class starting Tuesday, August 22nd for our next Rock Solid, for our next Step 2 class, rather. It will be taught by Pastor Cody Spencer, and he's going to be teaching a class on character building. Amen. So who's going to join that class? Come on, raise your hands. Thank you, Bill White. Thank you, Portia. Thank you, Brittany. Love you guys. It's going to be a great class. You do not want to miss it. This right here is how you have a grounded faith. Amen. Without this, we can talk all we want, but we won't be grounded. So this is for you. Amen. So I just wanted to thank you guys. It was a privilege and an honor to teach all of you. Y'all are awesome. Y'all my family. Love you guys so much. Now this time, let's have Pastor Rhonda.
If you missed spiritual warfare class, I'm so sorry. It was incredible. We just want to pray quickly over all of our family that's out on vacation. It's like the last hurrah weekends. We have a lot of people out on vacation. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, just bless and refresh our family as they're out and about today. We thank you for them in your precious name, Lord. Amen. We have a newlywed couple in the house this morning. Congratulations, the 48s. They got married yesterday, and they're back in the house this morning already serving the King of Kings. Amen. So as we enter into this time of tithes and offerings, unapologetically, by the way, I love this time so much. I actually have to fight to get any amount of time to share on tithes and offerings. So this morning I told Pastor Spencer, you're just going to have to hold off because I have to share the word of God on tithes and offerings. And that's where we go when we need to know how to live, is the word of God. So from the word of God, we've been teaching, and Pastor and I, we are blessed. Everything that we touch, our hands are prospered. But we were taught at a young age financial, supernatural principles. So we walk in this. We do this as an example. And I want everyone to be blessed. I know when my children are blessed, it makes me so happy. And I want every son and daughter of God to walk in blessing and prosperity. And the word of God says that he takes pleasure in the prosperity of his children. So it makes daddy happy when we walk according to his financial principles and walk in prosperity. So we've been teaching for weeks now on the tithe and what tithe is. The word tithe means 10%. So in Leviticus 27 and Malachi 3, it says that the tithe is holy, it belongs to the Lord, and that we are to bring the whole tithe into God's house. So that 10% of your income does not even belong to you. That is not an offering. If I borrowed your car we talked about and I returned it back to you, that's not a gift to you, right? That's not an offering or a sacrifice to you. The tithe is simply us returning God, to God, what is already his. And then it talks about offering, which is our seed. And we're in such an exciting season for us to be able to plant seed into the ground to produce a harvest. We just finished Uproar, and let me tell you, there are some young people that will never be the same again because of your seed sown into the ground. And we have Rock the City coming up in just a few weeks. So it's such an awesome time for you to be able to sow seed. So let me talk to you about what seed or offering is according to the word of God. Now in Philippians 4, this is Paul speaking, and he's sharing with them that it's not because I have a need that I'm standing up here. I have everything that I need. And I'm declaring the same thing. Pastor and I, we have everything that we need. We're blessed because we live according to this word. We're bringing this word just like Paul says. I want you to experience the blessing that issues from generosity. There is a blessing that comes with your generous seed. And this is Philippians 4, 15 through 17. And it's talking about your giving and receiving. I do not seek the profit which increases to your heavenly account, the blessing which is accumulating for you. So he's not seeking that. Why we talk about tithes and offerings is for your own heavenly interest account. When you seed, you're sowing into your own heavenly interest account, which will bring a harvest to you. We love to quote the scripture that says, "My God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory," right? You've heard that, you've quoted it yourself, but I was surprised as I was reading this morning that scripture, that's the end of a chapter. The whole portion before that is this passage that I've been reading, specifically talking about sowing seed. When you sow seed, then my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory. And then it talks about, here we go, this next passage. They are the fragrant aroma of an offering, an acceptable sacrifice which God welcomes and which he delights. He delights in the offering that you bring to him. And then it goes on to say, my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches in glory. So when you seed or give offering, which is above your tithe, you are actually investing in your own heavenly, supernatural account from which God will supply every single one of your needs. A farmer doesn't just sow seed to sow seed. A farmer sows seed so that it will produce enough for them to eat, but that's not all it produces. When you plant a seed and it gives a harvest, it's enough for you to eat and to feed so many others around you. And that's when we sow seed into our heavenly account. Then in every season, in famine, in drought, and the mountaintop, every single season, you will have a harvest where your God will supply all your needs. Whatever measure you give, it shall be given unto you. And that is how you walk in the prosperity of kingdom finance. So today, as we take our tithes and offerings, I want to encourage all of you, every single one, to sow a seed. Start somewhere. If you never put anything into the investment account, it'll never have a return that comes back to you. So I want to challenge all of you, above your tithe, to sow something. Now we're going to have offering buckets up here. We have the wicker ones for your regular tithe and offering. And then we're going to put the gold buckets out here for you to sow your seed and invest into your heavenly interest account. Invest something. Start somewhere. I love sowing. We love, Pastor and I, we love giving so much. And we know that it brings a return, a heavenly return with it. We've already given to this generous campaign, but everything we get that comes in, we've been sowing. So I had a prosperous week last week and got quite a nice amount of money in. And I could have put that into my savings account. But I thought, you know what? What a better account to put my income in than in my heavenly investment account, which will supply all of my needs according to his riches, his generosity in heaven. So we don't just stand up here and say, oh, you should give your fund. No, this is our life. This is what we live. This is how we have blessing and prosperity. And we want to make sure every one of you are able to walk in that same blessing and prosperity. So as we give today, I'm encouraging every single one, sow something into your spiritual investment account. Something. Maybe it can be a great amount or a small amount. It doesn't matter what amount. But I want you to, every single one, start planting into the ground for your heavenly investment. Amen? You guys sound so asleep this morning. You are second service. Come on. I don't know. All right. So, fine. I shared with you the principles. I'm excited to sow my seed today. I'm so blessed about it. So, I'll take my heavenly investment account. Stand to your feet. Let's make our supernatural declaration from the Word of God. And this is Deuteronomy 28. And it says, If I obey, then I am blessed going in, and I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse, and I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithes and your offerings and sow this morning. If you're watching via live stream, click on the giving button. Give right along with us. Tithe and sow a seed into your heavenly investment account. You can even text again. give right along with us.
The Lord, isn't God good? But if you did not get them, we have Rock the City invitation cards for your friends. They're really well done. And we want to make sure we have piles of them. I think we have 3,000 of these. So we want you to grab them, pass them out to your friends and your neighbors, invite them out to Rock the City. It is going to be an awesome soul winning. And that's what this church is. Turn to someone and say, we are a soul winning church. We're not doing fireworks because the church needs to do fireworks. We're doing fireworks because we know we can get thousands in one location and the gospel is going to be preached. We'll captivate them, amen? So they'll never be able to say when they got to heaven they didn't hear that Jesus loves them. It's our passion to make sure that people know the Lord. That's what a church is for. A church is not for the saint. The church is for you and I to grow up in Christ to do the work of Christ. Can I hear an amen? This is the year of... Boy, you're awful quiet this morning. I said, this is the year of generosity. We are. And we are the generous church. I'm so excited to participate with the kingdom of God with you. Why? Because we are a generous people and we show forth the love of God. You know, the love of God can't be just words. It's got to be actions. And that's what I love about this house. You are a people of action. And man, there's nothing better than participating with that. We've been ministering on the generous presence of the Lord. We spoke a few weeks ago about how God wants his presence, and Moses made the declaration, I'm going nowhere without your presence. We also last week started ministering on the depths of his presence, ankle deep, knee deep, waist deep, and then swimming in the presence of the Lord. How many people get saved, and that's your ankles, amen? You get saved, you love Jesus. But many people never go deeper in the presence of the Lord. God has so much more for you. Don't steal from yourself what God has for your life. Can I hear an amen? Amen. So then this morning, I want to talk about something that's a little bit the next level. And I believe this will challenge you to have and desire more of the presence of the Holy Spirit. Matthew chapter 5, starting with verse 6, it says this. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be... I can't hear you. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be... Do you know the word filled there actually means satisfied? Turn to someone and say, I want to be satisfied. Amen. Can I have my folk that are going to be helping me right now get right out of the chair? Come on out here. We're going to watch some people get satisfied today. Come on, Nick. Nick, right on over here, honey. Right here. Your stepdaddy can sit on the other side. There you go, young man. Yeah. I heard he can eat really good, too. Look at this. Now, you see, we are going to help these folks be satisfied today. This is not just steak. This is band-filled beef. Look at that. Wow, doesn't that look good? Wow. Today I want them to eat and to what? Be. Shout, I want to be satisfied. Oh my goodness. Now I heard Nick is a pig and I heard she can eat a lot. Nick, I hope you don't mind, but I just want a piece. I just want a piece of this fat.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah, go eat. Wow! I want you to know that is good. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is. Taste and see that the Lord is. Now, these guys are going to be tasting and seeing. How you doing, Rick? You're just getting started. Man, that looks medium rare. That looks perfect. Dear Lord. My brother-in-law is out there cooking right now. In fact, this is just your first one. We have 60 ounces for you to eat. Do you hear him? I better get started. See, you never get full until you start eating. Come on now. You'll never get satisfied until you start eating. The Bible says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled or satisfied. The word hunger there is very powerful in the Greek. It actually means that you have come to the place where you're so famished that you need strength, so you have to eat. You have to bring food into your stomach. How many of you have ever been so, you've worked, maybe you accidentally skipped breakfast, you missed lunch because you were so busy. Lunch came, afternoon came, and it was like, oh my goodness, I got no strength. You're struggling to stay awake just to be able to make it through the rest of the day. Why is that? Because you're hungering. There's a hunger in your body because you need to be fed to give yourself energy. For those who hunger and thirst, the word thirst there means that you don't want to be dehydrated. Has anybody here ever been dehydrated before? Man, you get dizzy. You know, you feel real weird. You feel that disconnected sensation. You know, you're standing here, but you feel like you're over there. You can end up in the hospital with dehydration. So the Bible says, if you hunger, you're so hungry to feed your body that now you've got to eat, and you're thirsty that you've got to drink, you will be filled, you'll be satisfied. Now, we're not talking about natural, we're talking about spiritual. Man, God is calling us to a realm, the body of Christ, to get back to hungering and thirsting after him, that we will come to the place where our flesh is in subjection, but our spirit is so hungry that nobody and nothing is going to get in my way. I've got to get a hold of the water of living water called the Holy Ghost. I've got to get the Spirit of God. I've got to get the Word of God. I've got to feed my spirit because I'm hungry. Man, when was the last time you were so hungry in the spirit you couldn't even leave? You know, yesterday I was just hungry in the spirit. How you doing, Nick? I'm so hungry. Yesterday, it was actually the day before, I was so hungry in the spirit that I had to watch David Oyedepo. I had to watch two sermons. So if you were watching my Facebook, you saw quotes coming all afternoon, all morning and afternoon. Why? Because my spirit was hungry. I needed to be fed. You know, I'm in the Word every day, and I'm spending my time with Jesus, but I just needed some extra food. I needed some dessert. So I threw on YouTube Dr. David Oyedepo from Nigeria, Africa, the largest church in the world. And he started preaching the gospel. Man, my spirit was just floating. I was excited. And when I got done that morning, my spirit was satisfied. When was the last time spiritually you were so hungry that you had to go after the things of God? You just didn't sit back or, well, I guess I'll show up to church today. But you were so hungry you had to get into the presence of the Lord. You were so hungry you had to get around the Holy Ghost, the water of heaven. You were so hungry you had to get to where Jesus' word was being preached. You were so hungry because your soul was not satisfied. We've got to get back to hungering and thirsting after Jesus. For without it, you cannot be filled. And this is where the body of Christ is lacking right now. We're okay with seeking after many things, but not Jesus. The Bible makes a declaration, seek ye, I can't hear you, seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Many of us are seeking the things for our satisfaction. I want you to know you'll get satisfied with some things. You'll get satisfied with maybe getting a boy or a girl. You'll get satisfied with a relationship. You'll get satisfied with a new car. Maybe you'll get satisfied with a house. You'll get satisfied, but only for a little bit. You see, the Word of God says, Jesus made the statement, if you drink this water, you'll never thirst again. But when you drink of the natural above the spiritual, you'll always be looking for something more. Why? Because that will only satisfy for so long. You see, God is calling you to hunger and thirst after him again. God is calling you to long for his presence again. God is calling you back to the prayer room again. God is calling you back to his house again. God is calling you back to where you cannot wait to be in his presence again. And until that starts to stir in your spirit, then you're going to be longing after the things of the flesh, and you'll get satisfied for just a time. You see, God is wanting his church. How are you guys doing down there? Rick, you're awful quiet. Your mouth is full. You see, this is where the Lord is calling us back to. We have got to have nothing lacking, nothing missing, and nothing broken. And that does not come by seeking the things of the world. That only comes when we're hungering and thirsting after him. You guys doing all right? Nick, how you doing, honey? You getting more potatoes? No, really, I heard she's a pig. You know, this girl can eat. I think, can she out-eat you, Rick? Yeah. Wow. So she said to me, Pastor, I was trying to be really conservative. I only had a half a plate of bacon before I came out to eat. I want to show you two portions in the scripture that show that God is the one who brings supernatural provision for your spiritual hunger. You see, you can seek after many things without being fulfilled. But the only reason you have even a desire for God is because God puts that desire in you. When we posture ourselves under the spout where the glory's coming out, that's an old statement. We posture ourselves in the spirit and we pull ourselves up to the table. We say, God, I want more of you. Jesus, I must decrease that you may increase. God, I want to be in your presence. Don't take me without you. Jesus, I want to eat of your heavenly food. For you are the bread of heaven. I want to drink of the spirit. For the spirit of the living God is the water of God. Lord, I want to be where you are. When you have that stirring in your spirit, God will always meet you with a desire that you yourself cannot conquer. You see, until we make a decision, I'm hungry, then we're always sitting back watching everybody else eat, but not eating ourselves. Have you ever, like, man, you were hungry, and then somebody starts eating in front of you? I'm talking like favorite food, like right now. Now, you want to know, I just want you to know how gracious I am. I really wanted them to cook it in here. Because that aroma just does evil things. But you see, they're eating, and they're eating good. I'm talking that's Banfield beef, mashed potatoes, corn, and gravy. It's cooked to their exact specifications, because we asked them, how do you want it cooked? Now, you can stare at them all you want. You can watch them all you want, but you're not going to taste it. You can say that will fulfill me, that will give me satisfaction, and you'll stare at that, but guess what? You're not eating that. Why? Because that's not your plate. God has a plate for you. God has a place for you. God has a hunger for you. God has something for you that nobody else can have, but until you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you cannot be filled. Stop watching everybody and start pulling up to the table. Can I hear an amen? I can't hear you. I said, can I hear an amen? This is my second service preaching. Don't let me preach louder than you shout. The first example that we see in the scripture that proves that Jesus Christ loves, he loves doing supernatural increase in our life. Many people have a concept that God is just going to meet my needs. You have to get that out of your spirit. You know, we have a poverty mentality within the church of God that says, oh, God just wants to help me make my needs. But God's not just a need maker. God is an abundant taker. He just loves to give abundance to his believers. He loves to see the prosperity of his children. He loves to give abundantly above all you could even ask or imagine. Your eye has not seen, your ear has not heard. Your heart has not even conceived the great things that God has in store for those who love him. I'm not talking nice little cliche little sermonette stuff. I'm talking the words of the living God. God wants to abundantly bless you more than you could ever thought or imagine. What does he say? He said, the devil's come but to steal and destroy, but Jesus came that you might have life and life more abundant. You see, God has more than enough for you. He can't wait to give it to you. He can't wait to feed you. He can't wait to fulfill you. He can't wait to satisfy you. And I want you to know that supernaturally, God has more than enough, and you can't out-eat God. That's why we got 60 ounces, because I heard Nick could eat almost 60 ounces. In John chapter 6, starting with verse 5, it talks about feeding of the 5,000. And the Bible says in verse 5, it says, and then Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming towards him, he said to Philip, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Do you know, he looked at Philip and he said this, hey, you know, where are we going to go to buy enough food for 5,000 men? That didn't include women and children. They figure at least 10,000 people were there. So 10,000 people are there. They're following Jesus. They've been eating from the bread of heaven. They've been drinking of the Holy Ghost. Man, they've been in the presence of the Lord. Their bellies spiritually are full, but naturally, they're famished. So Jesus says to test Philip, where are we going to go to buy all this food? And Philip said, listen, even 200 denarii, it's only going to give them a little bit. You know, 200 denarii equals 1 year's wages. Did you know that Jesus had a treasurer? Jesus would not have said, hey, listen, are you going to go out and buy that if he didn't have the money to accomplish it? You see, but Jesus knew this. He said he was saying it to test because he already knew what he was going to do. What was he going to do? He was not going to meet a need naturally. He was going to meet the need supernaturally. And this is where many of us are striving to meet our needs in the natural. We're striving to sit back and say, God, you know, I want to be fulfilled. I need help. I need you to work in my life. I need this. I need that. And God is saying, those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. But if you don't hunger and thirst after righteousness, it means you won't be. You won't be satisfied. You won't have what you need. You won't have what you desire. Many of us are in that mode. Love the Lord, and listen, if we died today, we'd go to be with Jesus. But the truth is we live in want, and I'm not just talking in the natural, I'm talking in the spirit. We're walking at people, we're just barely surviving, we're barely getting by with God, we're hoping that he doesn't come today because we know the lifestyle we're living, and Jesus is saying, listen, it's time to realign yourself, it's time to get into my spirit, because all these natural things will pass away. The only thing that will remain is from the Spirit of the living God. Many believers are looking for the world's fulfillment and not the spirit fulfillment. We're hungering after the things of the world. but we're not hungering after Jesus. And we've got to realign ourselves. Because if we don't, this world is going to be lost. We are the only plan that God has, and the anointing is the only thing that destroys the yoke of bondage. And so if the church is not hungering and thirsting after righteousness, then we're not going to be in right standing with the Lord, righteousness, and we will not be people that will have more than enough. I'm not talking money. I'm talking the Holy Ghost. I'm talking the Spirit of God. I'm talking laying hands on the sick and seeing them recover. I'm talking about casting out devils. I'm talking about showing the manifested love of a Savior that died on an old rugged tree that rose again on the third day. I'm talking Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. You and I are His ambassadors. You and I are His voice. And until we get hungry enough to start seeking after Him, then the things of this world are only going to pacify. They're only going to placate you for periods. But God is saying, if you come after me, I'll give you satisfaction. If you come after me, I'll fill you inside. If you come after me, I'll meet every need. My God is able. He's able and willing to do that in our life. This is the passion of heaven. The Bible says, Philip answered and said, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them. Then every one of them may have a little, but God doesn't have a little for you. He has a lot for you. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. Everybody say small. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the people sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so men sat down and numbered about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he'd given thanks, he distributed them to his disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise to of the fish, as much as they wanted. Turn to say, someone say, as much as they wanted. Remember last week we talked about ankle, knee, waist, and swimming. The depths of the presence of the Lord. The Word of God is talking right very clearly. Give them all they want. You see, when Jesus blessed that and he released the miracle, you see, this is what I want you to see. God sees a need and then he releases a miracle. And when God sees a need and releases a miracle, that miracle does not stop until the people stop it. A miracle will continue. The flow of heaven will continue. God is not on a ration in heaven. God has abundantly above all you could even ask or even imagine. There is so much in heaven available for you and I. God is saying, the only way once I start pouring out my miracle that I will stop is when you stop me. You see, the Word of God goes on to say that at that point in verse 12, and when they were filled, the word filled there is the same word, satisfied. When they were satisfied after eating that miracle, now watch now, 5 loaves, 2 small fish. God fed over 10,000 people by the hand of Jesus. And I want you to recognize this, is that the only reason that the fish stopped multiplying, the only reason that the bread stopped multiplying, the only reason the miracle ceased was because they were full. Not because God had no more left. But because they came to the place of satisfaction and they stopped the miracle from moving forward. Now, you see, I want you to know this morning, I don't have a miracle. I just have steak. Close enough. Hallelujah. But I want you to know this morning that they will not be able to eat as much steak as they have available. We have abundantly above that all they could even ask or imagine. 120 ounces were purchased for this. Actually, sold by somebody for this. 120 ounces. The first service, I don't think they ate any more than 16 ounces. So you have a long ways to go. But they're going to eat. And they're going to eat. But at some point in time, they're going to be satisfied. Has anybody ever gone to the restaurant before and you've eaten all you could, but you still had a lot on your plate? and they gave you a doggy bag. Not for your dog. They gave you a doggy bag so you could take it home because you know tomorrow at lunch you're going to have some more. It was so good, you didn't want to leave it on your plate and just send it back to be thrown in the garbage. You wanted to take that home. Why? Because it was so tasty. It was so fulfilling. It was so satisfying. Actually, the blessings of God, just like you just saw, can be a little bit overwhelming. When was the last time you positioned yourself spiritually? When was the last time you positioned yourself with your appetite for God that you were overwhelmed because the blessings were so much you couldn't even imagine, you couldn't even fathom, you couldn't even wrap yourself around that you could even take care of it yourself? You see, many of us have never been there. And the reason isn't that God isn't able. The reason isn't that God isn't willing. The reason is that we're not hungering and thirsting enough. The reason is that we're not passionate enough. The reason is we've stopped the miracle because we've been satisfied with what this world has to offer more than we've been satisfied with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And until we get back to that place, we'll have just enough. But man, I don't want just enough. We got to give some away. Can I hear an amen? You see, that's what the church is called to do. The church isn't called to keep it. The church is called to give it away. But you can't give away what you don't have excess of. How you doing? Just getting warmed up. Now, you see, if we saw this principle in one portion, that's one thing. But I want you to turn to another portion because this is the powerful thing. I want you to see that even in the old covenant, the God of heaven still was not lacking. 2 Kings chapter 4 talks about a woman that was in a position to where her husband was a prophet. He was a man of God. But this man of God was not good with money. Who here is not good with money? Don't raise your hand. He was not good with money. He got his family in debt. So much debt that when he died, they didn't have enough money to rectify or reconcile. So therefore, what they did was they were taking his two sons and they were going to put them in slavery. So the prophet of God came to her house. And he said, what do you want me to do with you? What do you want me to do for you? And she said, explain the situation. And this is what he said. Are you ready? He said in verse 2. So Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house? And she said, your maidservant has nothing in the house, but, everybody shout but a jar of oil. You see, this is the powerful part. You might think that you don't have much to give to God. You might think that you don't have a lot that God can use. But I want you to hear today that God has given you more than enough. That it might be just a small vial of oil to you. It might be just a can that's going to have a little water in it right now. But this is what's going to happen. When he said to her, go borrow vessels, watch this, and not a few of them. See, many of us are filled because our vision is so small. God has more for you than you could ever fathom or imagine. But you see, we contain God. Look at that. See, this is a small bucket. It's not a big bucket. But I want you to see the miracle. The miracle is, well, I think it can house that too. Yeah, I think it can do that much. Yeah, I think it can do that much. Yeah. Oh, I don't, whoa. How can a can hold that much? How? Look. That makes no sense. How is that credible? How is that even able to be accomplished? There's no way that that one little tin can hold that much water. There's no way that that little tin can house that much water. Well, what's happening? I want you to see this, that your God is able to do that abundant abundance in your life, that your God is willing to take what is impossible. He can take your little bit and make it more than your mind can even conceive. Why? Because he desires for you to be blessed. He desires for you not to be put into slavery. He desires for you to be abundantly so much that people will wonder, how is this even possible? You see, the miracle is not just in the can. The miracle is not about the little jar of oil. The miracle is she was willing to pour it out. She was willing to have desire enough to obey the prophet of God, to step into a position. Now listen now, that's the position. The position is that God wants to bless you, but until you're in that position, until you posture yourself properly, you'll always be watching people eat. You'll always be hoping that your vial can be full. But I want you to know today that God is not wanting you to watch. He wants you to enjoy, because God wants to bless you. God wants to pour himself out on you. God wants you to be satisfied in your inner man, satisfied in your outer man. God wants you satisfied in your mind. God wants you satisfied in your family. God wants you satisfied with your children. God wants you satisfied in every area of life. But until you start pouring it out, you'll never have. You see, the miracle, which is so powerful, that the next portion is being filled. It's impossible to happen in the natural world. So many of us live so much by the natural that we forget God is supernatural. The provision of heaven is not lacking. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on as it is in. God wants his will that's in heaven to the earth. Is there sickness in heaven? Is there poverty in heaven? Is there sin in heaven? You see, God wants you so blessed that those portions never be part of your life while you're on this planet. But if you never seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, you will never be satisfied. You'll always look for something else to fill the hole. You'll always look for something else to satisfy, and it will work for a period of time. But until you look to Jesus, until you see Jesus, until you call on Jesus, until you make him your king, until you make him your Lord, until you repel the darkness and run to the light. Woo, it's a different color. That's the oil. The oil has come. You know what's amazing, though, is as this example keeps going, once this bin is filled, the miracle stops. What would have happened if this woman would have gotten more vessels? What would have happened if she would have believed for greater things? What would have happened if she would have chased after the things of God in a greater dimension? What would have happened if she would have gotten more neighbors and borrowed? What would have happened if she would have filled her house with 50 vials, with 50 vessels? I want you to know that that can would have never run out. I want you to know the miracle would have never run out. I want you to know the signs and wonders of God would never run out. The only reason the can stopped, the only reason the oil stopped, was because she had no more. She came to the cap, the capacity of her vision. Hey, got to get it done. How you doing? You're slowing down? Getting satisfied? Yes, yes. Is it good? It really is good. I'm gonna eat the rest before the church picnic. I see it. You want to know why you got mashed potatoes, corn, and steak? Because that's my favorite. You saved it for last. Now you just mix it all together, don't you? Why? Because everyone's satisfied in a different way. But it still comes down to the same plate. don't have the meat, the potatoes, and the corn. You might eat it differently. You might mix it together differently. But the blessing of God and the satisfaction will be the same. My question to you is, when was the last time you hungered and thirsted after God enough, willing to put everything else aside to get a hold of what God has for you? When was the last time in the spirit you were satisfied? When was the last? No, no, listen. I'm not talking, well, I'm ankle deep, I'm satisfied. I'm talking you want God with all you're getting. So therefore, you're not willing to settle for second best. You're not willing to just allow somebody else as you watch them eat. You want to get in and get up to that buffet table yourself. You want to grab not just one plate, but you want to grab two. You don't want to just put steak on there. You want some chicken. Hallelujah. You might want some ribs on there. I don't know what you want, but I know that if you don't go after it, you'll never get it. If you don't grab a fork, you'll never eat it. And if you don't sit down and have a hunkering in your heart for more of Jesus, you'll only get just enough to get to heaven. And that right there is a horrible way to live. That's called religion. Jesus wants you to know him, not just know about him. So my question to you this morning is, when was the last time you were satisfied spiritually? When was the last time? Come on now. When you gave up and the miracle stopped, what did you do after that? Sit back? Or did you go find some more? God, I need more. You know, sadly enough, I watch saints get saved, excited about Jesus, excited about ministry. They'll do it for 5 or 6, 7 years, and then they'll stop. And you watch them slowly slide away. And all of a sudden, they're no longer in the church. They're no longer in the kingdom. They're no longer working for Jesus. Well, how is that? They never went back for the miracle. They were just satisfied with where they're at. I don't know about you, but I want a dissatisfied satisfaction. I want God so bad, I don't care what anybody has to say. Listen to me, I love you, but get out of my way. I'm going for Jesus. I want you to know that I'm not here to pacify and placate you. I'm here because God has sent me. And if I'm going to get a hold of God, then I'm going to be satisfied. You see, I'm not here for religion or tradition. I want Jesus, and I got to have him. Why? Because I've tried the things of the world. They only work for a little bit of time. I've got to have God with all my getting. I've got to have Jesus. I want to be satisfied deep in my soul. I want my God to bless me so desperately that I will get and eat till my full. When was the last time you were full? When was the last time you hungered that much? When was the last time you wanted God more than you wanted anything else? We sell ourselves short a lot, don't we? For temporary things that even in a decade matter. When was the last time you wanted the King of Kings that is eternal more than you wanted anything else? When was the last time you were truly hungry? Hungry for Jesus. See, they're going to keep eating. She is a beast, isn't she? Are you full yet? You're not? Really? Don't eat my steak. How you doing, Rick? You look full. He's good. Are you satisfied? Are you going to eat more? Yeah, full. You know what's amazing is that after he fed the 5,000, they picked up 12 baskets because somebody had to pick at it for a while. You ever have a turkey dinner? Turkey's all done, but you start picking at that turkey bird. Pull a little piece of dark meat off over here and a little bit of white meat over here. And grab some stuffing over there. You're not eating a whole meal. You're just picking. I want you to know, he'll always have more than enough for you. Amen? Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this house. God, you hear our hearts. Our hearts, Lord, are not to grow a big church. Our heart, God, is not to have religion. Our heart, God, is only one thing. We want you. And this is eternal life, that you will know him, the Father, and the Son whom he has sent. God, that's the heart of this house. We want to know you. Lord, we know that if we run after you, oh God, that you will give us a desire that we've never had before for you. So Jesus, today we ask that you will change us from the inside out. One last comment, and then we're going to do something. When you eat natural food, you end up getting full and you stop eating. But when you eat spiritual food, you get satisfied but only get hungrier. Say it one more time. When you eat natural food, you get full and you step away from the table. But in the spirit, when you get hungry and you get satisfied, you actually get a greater craving than you've ever had before. It's the opposite of the world. Today, when was the last time you hungered for God that nothing else mattered? You know what we want to do this morning? I believe without question that even our hunger is supernatural. We're going to lay hands on every single person in this room today. We're going to pray and we're going to believe God that he's going to supernaturally, not naturally, but supernaturally stir a fresh hunger in your heart. And that God is going to stir you to a place that you'll want him more than you want anybody else. We're going to lay hands on every single person in this room. There are some people that are in the room today that will not be hungry. You've been satisfied with something temporary and that's all you want. You don't want any more. And that person there needs Jesus in their life. And if that's you today, I want you to know something. Jesus will wash your sins away. He'll give you a hunger in your heart for him. In fact, the Bible says you can't even repent unless the Spirit of God draws you. Right now, the Spirit of God is touching your life and you're feeling that you're just plain uncomfortable. God is drawing you to salvation. And today I want you to know that you can be filled and that you can have Jesus and have your sins washed away. I'm not talking joining a church or joining a religion. I'm talking your sins washed away, being a new man and a new woman, and God filling you from the inside out. And if that's who you want to be and what you desire, when we pray for everybody, I want you to be bold. I'm going to ask you to come right over here. Where's Mindy? Very good. Oh, you're Mindy. Come on over here. Come on over here, Joyce. Come on over here. Joyce, I want you to, when we start praying for people, I want you to come right on over here to Joyce. We're going to pray with you. We're going to get you a Bible. We're going to get you walking on your relationship with Jesus. You're going to get filled today and changed. And everybody else in this room that hungers and thirsts, we're going to pray as we lay hands on you that a supernatural impartation of a greater spiritual hunger will be birthed in your heart. Not natural, but supernatural. Not something from a man, but something from God. And you shall have what you ask. I love what Jesus said. Your faith has made you whole. Do you have faith to receive this morning? Or are you just watching everybody at the buffet enjoy themselves while you stay hungry? I'd like you all to stand with me this morning. I'm going to have Brother Chico Hernandez. How many of you see Brother Chico? Brother Chico Hernandez from Mexico and Cuba. He and Sister Evelyn are going to be praying for people right over in that aisle. My wife is going to be right here in the middle, and I'm going to be on this side. We're not going to lay hands on you and pray for you for 10 minutes. We're just going to release the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Nothing a man can do, only God can do. And if you're hungry, I remember first service, I prayed for a young lady. She came up, I laid hands on her, and she went just like this. I said, "You felt him, didn't you?" I said, "He's real." She went, I said, "Get ready. On you again." I released the anointing and she would not close her eyes. Why? Because we don't have religion here. There's nothing up my sleeve. But the Bible says you can release a fresh anointing in someone's life. And that's what I'm believing for in your heart today. That you'll hunger for God like you've never hungered before. And you won't be satisfied until you get more. Can I hear an amen? Amen. So this is going to be the close of the service. If you want to get saved, come right on over here to Joy. She's right here. She's right over on this way. There, she's right here. She loves you. She'll pray with you. She'll encourage you. She'll strengthen you. So if that's you, Be brave. Get right out of your chair. If anybody else wants prayer, we're going to get in our spots. We're just going to lay hands on you. We love you. We'll see you at the church picnic at 2 o'clock. Make sure you're there.